96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Over the past 2 months, six transgendered people have been robbed, sexually assaulted, or stabbed in D.C. This spike in LGBTQ hate violence is punctuated by the 12th anniversary of the unsolved murders of two transgendered teens. Stephanie Thomas and Yukiya Davis were shot to death in Southeast 12 years ago today. But what's behind the recent attacks against members of the LGBTQ community, and what's being done about it? Well, tonight, my guests are Sergeant Matthew Maul, head of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit for D.C. Police, Ruby Corrado, executive director of Casa Ruby, a transgender support organization run by women of color, and Nona Moselle, outreach coordinator for Casa Ruby. Lines are open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Thank you all for coming, and I appreciate it. Let me first go to Sergeant Maul. Sergeant Maul, from your perspective, from the perspective of the D.C. police, what is going on in D.C. regarding the attacks on the LGBTQ community?
Well, the transgender community faces dangers that are similar to other communities. They face some dangers that are also unique to their specific community. For instance, criminals target people out having a good time in the vibrant nightlife of the district. And a transgender individual can be a target in that situation.
Why would they be a target as opposed to someone else? And how do you determine the difference between just a plain old robbery and a hate crime?
Well, in that situation, everyone is a target at some point during that nightlife. The transgender community also is a little more unique to where criminals sometimes target individuals who may have a lot of money on them, may feel the fear of reporting these crimes to the police department. And we deal with that a lot, especially with our survival sex workers, where the transgender community can be specifically targeted.
Mm-hmm. Ruby, how do you feel about the status of these violent attacks in D.C.? Do you believe that enough is being done?
I believe we're doing something. Is it enough? No. First of all, I want to say that I believe in many of us who are fighting discrimination for transgender communities. We believe that it is a systematic problem that begins when we're at home. Parents are never told that, you know, there are kids that are different, that mm-hmm. their kids can be a little different, that they may have a sexual orientation that is not the one that society deems correct. We never talk about gender identity or gender expression, which is related to transgender people. So therefore, we go to school. The system is not ready to talk about why are these kids different. It is not ready to protect us. So we go through a lot of bullying. And then when we go into our teenage years and we move on into society, society is not ready. There's no protections that is specifically, you know, target or discrimination where it is most. Particularly, we have to face a lot of economic marginalization that because we are transgender, we're very often denied the right to have a job. In some cases, we are denied the right to have access to housing, even though we might be able to afford it.
But let me not get off point.
But I want to just say why the system, it creates vulnerable and at some times disposable people.
But what makes a transgendered person more vulnerable walking down the street than me mm-hmm. or a white guy walking down the street?
Because people feel that we are disposable. People feel that we are not deserving of the rights of others. So therefore, if I attack a transgender person, if I rob their money, the likelihood of me, being arrested when the transgender person calls the police or seeks help or others that are out in public, it's very unlikely that will people come and help this person. So therefore, they feel that they can get away with a lot of things.
No. You underwent a horrific ordeal. Can you give me kind of a thumbnail sketch of what happened to you?
There was this guy who didn't want to believe that I was transgender because of my passable state. We text often, and he called me outside to have a conversation with him and offered sex to me. When I denied and abruptly turned around to walk away, he stabbed me in my top right shoulder and continued to stab me in an abandoned house.
Mm-hmm. You say passable state. Define that. What does that mean?
Some transgender women are more feminine in features than the others. And that's another reason why some of us get targeted, because men are aware that we are transgender and feel that we're vulnerable or we're easy prey.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you were talking about earlier, Ruby? Because I have to say, I like the term passable state, because when you came into the newsroom, you know, both of you sat down. Mm-hmm. If I did not know that you were transgender, I would not have known that you were transgender.
Correct.
So, again, I guess my question comes up again. How, and I'm a professional observer. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I do for a
yes.
living. Yeah, you got that. How can you say that you are
targeted.
More targeted when you look like a woman?
For example, in many cases, although I may be passable,
mm-hmm.
As soon as I disclose my history, when
uh-huh.
I start talking, mm-hmm. when people know, you know, where are you from, sometimes, you know, we are subjected to hang out in certain neighborhoods,
okay.
to hang out with friends. If I am with another transgender person that is not necessarily at the level that I am in my transition, people already know. When I talk, the longer that I talk, there's something that always something is going to look and say, oh, this is a trans person. And therefore, they are like, okay, here's an opportunity for me that if I'm already engaging in criminal behavior,
mm-hmm.
they're the target. And that is usually what happens.
We're going to continue this conversation. We're also going to go to the phone lines after the break at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We're talking about violence against the members of the LGBTQ community. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're looking at what's behind the recent attacks against members of the LGBTQ community in Washington, D.C., and what's being done about it. Tonight my guests are Sergeant Matthew Maul, head of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit for D.C. Police, Ruby Corrado. She is the executive director of CASA Ruby, a transgender support organization. It's run by women of color, also Nona Moselle, outreach coordinator for CASA Ruby. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Before I go to the phones quickly, Sergeant Maul, there's an event coming up that deals with specifically suicide in the LGBTQ community. Tell me about that and where people can get more information.
Sure, absolutely. The American Foundation of Suicide Prevention is doing a walk in D.C. on September 20th. I think it starts at 3 p.m. They can get information at afsp.org/walk.
afsp.org/walk. We're going to talk more about that and give you that information later on in the program. Let me go to the phone lines quickly. Nisi, calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Nisi, quickly, what's on your mind?
Good evening, Harold and panel.
Mm-hmm.
My comment is concerning the transgender community. I have a friend that's transgender that started out as a male and started the transition to female. And during that transition, he would go out on dates but would not disclose to partners that he was originally a male. So then when it came time and, you know, things got a little intimate, then the male partner got very angry because he was not fully disclosing his status.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that could be part of why transgenders are being attacked as well.
Ruby, can you briefly address that, please?
I think that it's a very small percentage. Many of us do not get attacked just only when we go on dates. We simply get attacked when we're on the street and someone confronts us, and it's because they may see us dressing a certain way, looking a certain way, stops us, and somewhere in the conversation they find out, and we do disclose that we are trans because we already know that that we don't want to be in dangerous situations. So most of the crimes do happen out in public in some cities where we sometimes are driven to in terms of survival sex work. A lot of that happens there. Confrontations take place and, you know, crimes of opportunity also do happen. And that is where we see a lot of the violence.
Mm-hmm. Nisi, thank you so much for your phone call. Sergeant, I want to ask you this question, and I'll have to allow you to finish it on the other side. Why do you think we have seen a spike in these attacks of late?
I'm not exactly sure that we've seen a spike when it comes to hate crimes against the transgender community. On average, you know, we're doing maybe 4 to 10 hate crimes per year based on gender identity, gender expression.
Mm-hmm. Let me hold that point, because as I said, I need to take a break. But if you were on the phone, that includes Michael, Lisa, Ryan, Carmelita, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We will continue this conversation about violence against members of the gay, lesbian, and transgender community. Stay with us. We'll be back on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a bit.